Hey, what's up, guys? Before we start the show, I just want to say real quick, I got a new ebook slash hard copy book out right now on Amazon available called 101 Ways to Make Great Friends. It's just all the tips I've got in this podcast, pretty much some new stuff as well. Put it all in one place for you. So check it out. It's on Amazon. 101 Ways to Make Great Friends, available on Amazon. All right, let's start the show. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Social Skills Lab. I'm your host, Nathan Ament. And last week, we talked a little bit about being non-judgmental, and we talked about what it means to be cool. I was listening to the radio this week, and they were talking about giving advice to people. Like, I listened to a lot of NPR, a lot of podcasts. There's some really good ones, though, for just helping in general, and some really good social skills ones. There's a podcast I like called Hidden Brain. It's a psychology podcast. Anything related to psychology is really good when it comes to social skills. And then also there's a Life Kit, NPR Life Kit. There's actually one about friendship. I haven't seen it on there. It might have to be on their website before you can find it. The one I was listening to was talking about giving advice, and it said to be non-judgmental if you're, it just said, be not judgmental is really helpful when it comes to people opening up to you. And that's kind of what we talked about last week. So it's cool to hear it again. The other podcast I like is TED Talks, TED, TED Talks. There's a lot of good stuff in there too about social skills and anything like that. There's podcasts are just, I guess they're pretty cool to find stuff that good topics for self-improvement. There's also a lot of funny ones in there. I'll tell you about those too, because we're going to talk about comedy today too. Talk about being funny. We also talked about being cool last week. That's very subjective. So some people, let's say, if you're into Dungeons and Dragons and you go to like a D&D convention and you meet the West Coast National D&D champion, you might think he's super cool. But let's say someone who surfs doesn't necessarily think it's very cool to play D&D. So it's just very subjective. It's like whatever you think is cool. My opinion is just anything that anybody who's kicked back and just doesn't take themselves too seriously, which I always recommend not taking yourself so seriously. And then also very mature and just likes to have fun and is fun to be around. That's my opinion. That's a good definition. It's good to try to be a better person in general, because let's say I know in my past I've had friends that were kind of negative and got me in a lot of trouble. I probably got them into trouble too, but I also was not very mature. So if you want to have better friends, friends that you actually like to hang around with that are very positive and fun to be with, then you should strive to also have those characteristics, because like seems to attract like. If you are a douchebag, you're going to end up having either no one around you or friends that are also douchebags. So it would be good to just work on yourself and be a better person as you also work on your social skills. That way you can attract people that are actually fun to hang out with. And I think that's pretty much the goal. Having people that are fun to hang out with so you can have fun, right? One thing, too, that I was listing off some things that were not very cool, like being a whiner or being impatient. one thing I'd mention too is someone who can't handle their booze. Like, I've definitely been around people that just drink too much. I also have been in those situations. It's pretty rare, but it does happen. But I would say people that make it a habit of just who can't really handle their shit, I would say that that's not very cool. It's just not fun to have to be around someone like that who is out of control, that you have to like babysit or just make sure that they're, you know, not causing too much damage. Like, who wants to be in that situation? Like, if you're an adult, act like an adult and, you know, try to be more moderate. So this week we're going to be talking about being funny and also a concept of the personal boundary. I know that when I was in junior high, I was like painfully shy. I don't know why. I just was. I think it's because I moved a lot. And I would be in class and I had a friend and I would like tell him jokes in class and then he would repeat them out loud and he'd get all the laughs. Like, I was basically like his little joke writer. I don't know. I was just too shy to say it out loud. I think I've done it, was telling jokes and they were so bad. People just like gave me weird looks and I just made the decision to never tell a joke in class again. I really don't remember, but that's ringing a bell for me. So I just would never really developed being very funny. I think, you know, with my close friends, I always had like one or two friends, but I would be funny around them, but just in public, I wouldn't be funny around other people. As I got older, I had a couple roommates that were super funny and we became friends. If there's any way you can hang out with someone a lot who's really funny, that could be definitely very helpful. I know that having some pretty funny roommates was really helpful to me being more funny. Like, I definitely tried to push my funniness more when I was around them. I think that happens anytime when you're around someone, a friend that's funny, you're constantly telling each other jokes and playing pranks or whatever. One thing I noticed, though, after a while was I had this roommate who would tell jokes, like, all day long. He was joking around, like, all the time. And I noticed that most of his jokes just were not funny at all. Like, I'd say out of, like, 10 jokes, one would be, like, really funny. And, like, two were, like, that's kind of funny. And then most of them just, like, weren't funny at all. And that made me think, I'm like, wow, I actually, if I was to describe him to somebody, I would say that he's a funny guy. Like, I would say, like, oh yeah, he's really funny. But in reality, most of his jokes weren't funny. And I was thinking, like, huh, you know, I kind of do the same thing. I would tell him jokes and maybe half of them weren't funny at all. But it's like, if you can at least tell one or two jokes out of 10 that are funny, you will actually be considered funny. So you kind of have to just throw a bunch of crap against the wall to see what sticks. So I think that's just important to remember. You're not going to be funny 100% of the time, but you are definitely going to have to throw a lot of stuff out there. I think that sometimes people think that you can't learn to be funny. Like, I remember asking someone this. I asked him, do you think somebody can learn to be funny? And they actually said, no, I think you're just funny or you're not. I don't think that's true, though. I think you can definitely learn to be more funny. I think it's really important to be more funny because that's just one of the best parts of having a conversation with someone. Some conversations you'll have with people are like serious conversations or interesting conversations. Most of the time you can pepper it with some funny stuff, but sometimes some conversations are just strictly funny. You're just telling jokes and stuff like that. And those are really fun, interesting conversations to be in. So if you can develop your comic ability, you know, I'm not saying you have to be the funniest person in the world, but if you could just, you know, be 10%, 20% more funny, it'll really make a huge difference when you communicate with people. So something I would recommend is, if you don't know where to start, maybe just start watching more stand-up comedy. You can see a bunch of them on Netflix or even on YouTube. There's some really good ones on there. I just wrote down a list of some of my favorite stand-up comics. Dave Chappelle, obviously, Louis C.K., Daniel Tosh, David Spade, Jim Gaffigan, Anthony Jeselnik, Sarah Silverman, Hannibal Buress, Maria Bamford, and Dimitri Martin. I'd say just look up those guys on YouTube and watch, try to watch, you know, one a day for 6 months. There's no way you cannot be more funny or understand what is actually super funny after watching so much stand-up comedy. I've definitely watched a lot. I'll even listen to some stand-up comedy podcasts. Anthony Jeselnik does a really good one. I can't remember the name of it, though. I'll find it in the description for you. Something else I did was I started taking some improv classes because I heard that could be really good for improving your social skills. So I did it, and yeah, it was really good. There's a comedy club in Sacramento. There's actually a couple now that do it. They'll teach classes on improv, and I thought it was a really good experience. It was there was some really good teachers there, and you would just do these like exercises to get warmed up, and these like fun games, and then you would try to do scenes. And I'll put a link in the description as well for one of the best improv sets I've ever seen. It's from Ass Cat from the stand-up. What is it? Oh, Upright Citizens Brigade. It's hilarious. Definitely wasn't that good, but I know I could tell right away that it was a lot funnier with around my friends after doing it. So I took a class, and then like a year later, I was living with my roommate, and I told him about it, and he's like, "Oh, let's do it." So I took another class with him, and then he was like, "Yeah, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be." And I asked him, I was like, "Well, what did you want to do?" He's like, "Well, they said there's a stand-up comedy class. You want to do that?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, for sure. Let's do that too." So we ended up doing a stand-up comedy class. And so I got up on stage a couple times and did that. And then a couple years later, another friend, I was telling him about it. And he's like, "Oh, I want to do that too." So I took another stand-up comedy class and been doing that with him for a little bit. I've probably been up on stage about, I don't know, 8-10 times or something like that at different comedy clubs, open mic nights. It's kind of hard to say that. Open mic nights. And it was a lot of fun. I got to be honest, ever since the pandemic, though, so pretty much all the stand-up clubs are closed, so I haven't had a chance to do it. I thought of another good idea that might help you, too, is if you go online, you could just look up jokes. There's, like, probably a billion jokes online, but I go on Reddit under jokes, and I found a funny joke. I'm just going to say it just so you got to know. Oh, here it is. Because it would be good. I used to do this. I would like go on there and I'd find a funny joke and I'd memorize it. And then, you know, most of the time I would forget it. But every once in a while when I remember it, I would just tell it to a friend. And it's good. Just good practice. If you don't know, how to write your own jokes, just use some online. They're really good. Like, okay, so this one says, "What's the difference between an oral thermometer and a rectal thermometer? The taste." Yeah, that's kind of funny. So yeah, you can just find short ones that get to the point. They're kind of funny. And then, here's another one. A nurse sees that a doctor has a rectal thermometer behind his ear, and she asks him about it. He takes it out of his ear, and he looks at it, and he goes, "Do you know what this means?" "What, doctor?" says the nurse. "Some asshole has my pencil." Yeah, that's not bad. So you could just find these online and then save a couple, put them in your phone or something like that, and then tell them to people just randomly. Just be careful if it's a little racy to who you tell it to. Don't want to get you in trouble at work or anything like that. Okay, so what else did I do here? Oh, another thing about the stand-up class is you'll definitely get more confidence. I mean, the last thing I ever wanted as – a naturally introverted person, the last thing I want to do is get up on a stage. You know, for one, it was good to help me be more funny, but also it really helped me with my confidence, because as soon as you're done doing it, you're like, wow, that went really bad, or that went actually pretty good. Either way, you're going to get more confidence just by doing it. There's also some books on there on how to write jokes and stuff. You can Google. I'm sure there's a lot of really good ones. There's like stand-up comedy books and stuff like that. I don't know if any of them are really good. I started reading one of them, but anything that can help you in that area will help you with your social skills. Okay, so let's move on to the next topic, the personal boundary. I heard about this first from this guy named Dr. Paul Dobransky. He's like a writer and a psychologist. So when I first heard this, I thought it was really interesting. So the concept of the personal boundary is, it's very similar. Your personal boundary is like a psychological concept in your head. And strong, healthy personal boundary, that's like a mature thing to develop. If you're immature, you're going to have a weak personal boundary. So a personal boundary encompasses like all your positive emotional resources. And it kind of works like the borders of a country. So like North Korea, very sheltered, doesn't let a lot of things in, doesn't let a lot of things out. It's like probably too secure, too much. And then like a weak personal boundary is basically someone that gets trampled all over. Like people take advantage of them all the time. So what's the difference? The difference is, you know, your personal boundary, a mature personal boundary, should have doors that you open, that you let the good in, and you keep the bad out. So you do let things in, but you basically have to make a lot of decisions. And the kind of decisions that are help you develop this are, there's like the win-win decisions and win-lose decisions. A win-win decision is I win and you win. A win-lose is like someone else wins and you lose. And this really, there's a lot of different facets to this. But let's say like spending money, like how are you with saving money? Do you just like let all your money go? You just spend all your check on like frivolous things. You're not saving, you know, you don't have a 401k, stuff like that. Your decisions are going to keep your resources, your positive emotional energy. The other thing that he talked about this is, he described this as like what is in your personal boundary is 100% under your control. The things that are 0% in your control are things that are outside, like the weather or the job, other people or like the economy, stuff like that. Things that you do not control. And if you are constantly worried about those things, that is about things that are not in your control, then you're suffering. So keep that in mind. I had this friend who, this was a while back, like when I first met him, we were just like at his house having some people over there. A lot of people were drinking. We were just partying all night. And then I went over there a couple more times, and I noticed that every time I went over there, it was just like a big party. Like it was basically a party house. And one time we were talking outside, and I asked him, I told him, yeah, you know, no matter when I come over here, you always have a bunch of people over here. Are you actually cool with that? He said, and he told me, he's like, yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun when at first, but then now it's just kind of like, I don't know. I have a hard time telling people that, you know, I just want to kick it or whatever. And I told him, because I had just learned about this concept of the personal boundary. I said, you know, before I say that, let me say that there's this other thing about the personal boundary that helps you cultivate a strong, mature personal boundary, and that is the ability to say no and the ability to hear no. So in this situation, he wasn't able to say no. So his, you know, people were making win-lose deals. Like they won because they had a place to party, and he lost because he didn't have his, you know, his own personal quiet time that he probably wanted to have after a while. And if you notice, there's people who don't really have that, the ability to say no and the ability to hear no. Like when someone asks me something and I have to say no, and they start whining about it, complaining or asking over and over again, that's a pretty good indicator that they don't have a strong personal boundary. So having a really mature well-developed personal boundary where you, you know, you can say no and you're totally okay with hearing no, making win-win deals only or decisions only as opposed to win-lose deals. I mean, you're definitely going to make mistakes and make some win-lose deals where, you know, I win and you lose. But, you know, the culmination of how many times you make these types of deals will, you know, basically affect your personal boundary. So, and having this mature personal boundary is going to help you with your communication skills because people are going to know that when they talk to you that you have, you're like a stand-up guy and that you say, when you say something, you actually mean it. You just have a lot more credibility. It's weird how your body language will communicate that for you and how you talk to people will communicate that for you. But a lot of this ties into a well-developed personal boundary. So keep that in mind and, you know, just really focus on developing that skill, especially the ability to hear no and say no. I think that's one of the most important things about it. Like if I'm supposed to, like let's say I'm going to go to a movie and I get a flat tire and I'm going to miss the movie. Basically, the world has told me, no, you're not going to see the movie. And I have to be able to hear that. Like, oh, that's fine. I'll just, you know, fix my tire. Maybe catch a later movie or just go home, maybe watch a movie another time. Like if I don't make a big deal about it, if I don't let it affect me, you know, things outside of my control, if I don't let those things affect me, then that means I have a mature boundary and I'm keeping my positive emotional energy well contained and using it when I want to use that. I'm not wasting it, burning it on things that I cannot control. So I think that's some good stuff to learn. So yeah, let's just keep those things in mind when we moving forward. And then next week we're going to be talking about like what is a friend actually. It might be a couple ideas in there that we can really talk about so that A, you can find a good friend and B, you can actually be a better friend. And then we'll also talk about growing your social circle. Some definitely some good things to talk about. And then we'll talk about some other things too, maybe review a couple things that we missed before that, you know, I tend to do when I speak real fast. And then I guess that'll be it for this week. I hope you have a great week and make sure you try to talk to a few more people or push some conversations a little further. And always, as always, try not to take yourself so seriously and just have some fun. Later.
Thanks for listening, and remember, my new book is available on Amazon, 101 Ways to Make Great Friends. So check it out. I think you'll like it. 101 Ways to Make Great Friends, and remember to give it a review. I'd appreciate it. Thanks a lot.